Night west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 2 to 3 feet. Mix swell west 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds, and southwest 2 to 3 feet at 16 seconds. On Sunday, we have southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds, and a slight chance of thunderstorms. I have current temperatures here for you. It's 57 degrees in Salinas, 54 in Watsonville, and 59 in Monterey. We are at 55 degrees here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time is 10:06 and 45 seconds on this Saturday, August 22nd, 2009. Up next, the Saturday special with your host, MZ. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
You certainly are, as yep. always.
Yes.
Never change that.
Okay.
Always be you, okay?
You got it.
All right. Good. Now, let's see. We need to do several things here to get started. Excuse me. Hi. We need to do several things to get started here. Would you do me a favor and play some of the commercials?
Okay.
Yeah, just do a commercial break now while we get organized
All
here
right.
in the studio. That'll be Let great. We'll be right back.
Get Thanks. This ready here and rock and roll.
Okay.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing, and we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business. Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
Since 1978, Outdoor World has been gearing you and your family for the adventure that awaits right outside your door. And right now, you can step into any Outdoor World store or log on to theoutdoorworld.com/contest and enter to win a free two-night campsite stay at beautiful Costanoa Campground right up the coast, along with a free $500 camping gear package from Outdoor World.
Wait, are you saying that I could win a bunch of camping gear and a free campsite at Costanoa?
Yep, step in or log on for the chance to win. It's that easy.
Wow, who couldn't use some free camping gear and a couple of free nights at Costanoa, where one can retreat from the chaos of everyday life and discover the pace of nature? Sounds cool, huh?
Yep, Outdoor World has everything you need to enjoy the beach, hike the hills, or fish the wharf. It's just one more reason to head into Outdoor World today. Contest ends August 31st.
Outdoor World in Santa Cruz, Capitola, or Monterey, where they gear you for adventure.
Hey, MZ here to alert you to a great introductory offer by my friends at Quicksilver Voicemail. Buy 2 months, get 1 month free for your first 3 months. KSCO has used Quicksilver Voicemail for more than a decade for our listener comment line, e-fax, and other applications that can be tailored to our particular business or even personal communications needs. Get your own dedicated Quicksilver number that can be set to notify you, screen your calls, send your messages to your voicemail, way cool and useful, and even accept faxes to forward to your email address. Yes, but what's best of all about Quicksilver is that you can talk to a real person. Imagine that. No exhausting navigations or mazes of frustrating phone company blather, only to frequently be disconnected, and no smoke and mirror savings that actually end up costing you more. Call Dana at Quicksilver, 425-5211, weekdays 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and tell her MZ sent you to streamline your communications life as she did mine. 425-5211. Is that my cue?
Yes.
The they told me not to do that. They told me never to sing, never to try to do karaoke.
Because
everybody would tune off the radio.
No.
You don't agree?
No, I don't agree.
Are you sure? Are you just buttering me up?
You know what? Even if people don't think you have a good voice, you still have a good sense of humor.
Oh.
And that makes you lovable.
Well, with that, I can't think of a better way to open the program in an official sort of way.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley. Welcome to hour number one of the Saturday special hosted by Lovable MZ. And the pilot in command is Nikki James. And the subject today is going to be particularly interesting. So we do hope that you will stay with us for the next 2 hours.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Remember the last K's commentary? You know, the one about the origin of the phrase blow smoke up my ass and some politically incorrect jokes, all designed to divert us from all the bad news for just a bit? Well, that commentary generated an email from a concerned listener who was quite offended by one joke in particular and wanted us to know about it. The email, CC'd to Good Times and City on a Hill Press, basically characterized my mother Kay as a hateful, insensitive bigot for telling such a joke and thinking it was funny. It hit my mom like a ton of bricks because she, of all people, knows what it's like to be the object of hatred and bigotry from when she was a small child in the 1920s. We got the man on a conference call with both of us, and you should have heard my mom so eloquently and sincerely explain to the man that he had read her all wrong. The man appreciated the call, but was still offended by the humor. Then it hit me. What a topic for a Saturday special. Ethnic humor, when to draw the line, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Can't We All Just Get Along, simply by chilling out first radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
I received this email spoken about on the promo on Thursday evening. Responded to it immediately because the gentleman who wrote the email was kind enough to put his phone number in the email. By the way, if people want to send suggestions and complaints and so forth to the station in the form of emails, it's great if they would put a phone number because we like to respond to all of them as we did that evening. But it brought up something very, very interesting, and we're going to be using the Saturday special today to talk about the subject of how far is too far with humor. So we expect it to be a pretty interesting program. Now, I believe I can now play the actual commentary that stopped running several days ago. So let's see if that's coming up here. Just a second here, because I don't know. We might need to have you do it, Nikki, here, but...
I don't have it on my log anymore.
Okay. Well, you know what I... Oh, do you have it? Oh, you can.
Oh,
mom
can
do it live.
Hey, that's
better. That's great because we have the gentleman who wrote the email complaining about it. It will be up next to read his. So let's just do it that way. Ma, you want to read it live?
Well, Michael, I have the story of the tobacco smoke enema was the first one, but Do you want me to read that also?
No, well...
Or just go right to the thing that offended...
Please.
Okay, good. There's another voice here that you hear. That belongs to Simba Kenyatta, who is on the executive committee of the Santa Cruz chapter of the NAACP. He is not the gentleman who wrote the email. The gentleman who wrote the email is named Mr. Othea Byers, and he is will be on the telephone with us. In fact, since he's going to be on the phone with us, let's see if we can just bring him up right now here. Mr. Byers, you there with us?
I am. Good morning.
Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Thea.
Okay. So I guess all of us are together here, and I apologize. I believe we can get the old commentary up, but if you don't mind reading it, Ma, that's fine.
I don't mind. I'll just start with a little introduction. I said, with all the oppressive stuff we've been experiencing these past 6 months, it's time to put all that aside and have a few laughs and some trivia instead. It's chuckle time. So there was one little story about the tobacco smoke enema. We'll pass that up and go to the one that bothered the gentleman. The next one is, in South Los Angeles, a fourplex was destroyed by a fire. A Nigerian family of six con artists lived on the first floor, and all six died in the fire. An Islamic group of seven welfare cheats, all illegally in the country, lived on the second floor, and they too all perished in the fire. Six L.A. Hispanic gangbanger ex-cons lived on the third floor, and they too died. A lone white couple lived on the top floor, and that couple survived. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton were furious. They flew into L.A., met with the fire chief on camera. They loudly demanded to know why the blacks, Muslims, and Hispanics all died in the fire, and only the white couple lived. The fire chief said they were at work. So that's the end of that story, and I think this is the story that offended the gentleman who's on the air, who's on the telephone.
Believe me, it offended a lot more than him.
Well, all right. Okay, but first,
if you don't mind, folks, let's ask Mr. Byers to read the email that he sent me, that I forwarded to my mom.
Gladly. I titled it, It's Chuckle Time, WTF. I suspect that the morning staff of KSCO cringe when co-owner Kay Zerling walks into this local Santa Cruz radio station. As an Afro-American man, there is space in my heart and mind for the constitutional value of freedom of speech. Political rhetoric that does not support my personal views on racial equality, although painful, triggers the freedom fighter in me. Thus, I would be remiss if I stood by and said nothing regarding this bigoted and insensitive verbiage. On the morning of August 17th, I was awakened by my wife. She wanted me to bear witness to Ms. Zerling's Monday morning broadcast. And I won't repeat the following. You listeners have heard that. So initially, I'm thinking this is harmless enough, as Kay proceeded to tell listeners on when and how the colloquialism "stop blowing smoke up my ass" came about. Well, this tasteless bit of trivia was called the tobacco smoke enema. Ha ha. She went on to tell this sick joke over the uncensored airways. The next one is in South Los Angeles. I won't repeat it, but at the conclusion of that, once again, I stated, WTF. Now I'm feeling sick to my stomach. Is this chuckle really funny? To you, because you consider these people less than human? I remember all too well growing up in Alabama during the Civil Rights Movement, Gaston, Alabama, to be specific. I remember Bull Connor, do you, Kay? He thought like you. I remember the police dogs, fire hoses. I remember the slanderous remarks about people of color, remarks that became everyday jargon. Kay, do you wish for the return of the Jim Crow era? Is La Raza scary stuff for you? Can you sleep at night knowing that there are American Muslims living by, close by? Were the dreams of the late Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. your worst nightmare? What higher power do you consort with? Once again, I said WTF. I, for one, find your brand of Chuckle Time offensive and hateful. I wonder if the staff of KSCO support your bigotry, or do they have to cringe and be silent, speak to you face to face one way, but in their hearts they feel, like me, repulsed. Perhaps this is the seed you wish to plant in the minds of your listeners. Just remember, you have young people hearing your poison. And like what happened to Bull Connor, is the same as today. Our nation rose above your nasty ways of relating to people and voted your worst nightmare, the American dream, come true. Now, that was my rebuttal to that offensive. You know, it really affected me deeply. It really gave my stomach flip-flops.
Okay.
May I respond?
Sure, please do. Now go ahead. We both got on the phone and called you, Mr. Byers, right?
Yes, you did.
And that sort of surprised you, I think, right?
It surprised me.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let me say right off, Mr. Byers, the first thing is, first of all, I'm flabbergasted about the tobacco smoke enema. That was merely an historic story telling about the expression that we all use about blowing smoke up one's ass. That's not a terrible thing. And how it started in 1750 and ended in 1810, and people thought that using tobacco smoke was a good way to heal people that were, I'm sorry, I wasn't allowed to read this. Anyhow, I felt bad about that. Now, the second one that I read in the commentary, I think that was in one of the newspapers. Otherwise, why would Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson be involved in it? And if it were a joke, then what did I say that was offensive? I was just reading something that someone sent me, and they mentioned that these people, they described the people that burned in the fire and the one person that didn't. But that, why should that bother anybody? I don't understand it. I'm sorry. When I called you and apologized, I apologized to you, not because of the joke or the story. I apologized because I hurt you. And I don't think it's, now that I realize that I hurt you or anybody, it's not worth telling something to make people laugh if it's going to hurt anybody. That's why I apologize.
Yeah, go ahead, Simba.
And then wait a minute. I know the feeling of being hurt because I told you that I'm Jewish. And when I was a little girl growing up in Brooklyn, and we lived next to a Lutheran church, and I lived on a block with many American Germans, this was in the early 1930s when my neighbors would call me a dirty little Jew girl, often, and it broke my heart, and I didn't know why. But I didn't call you anything, and I didn't call those people anything. That was in the article. But what I learned from you is that I have to be a little more sensitive about even describing people who could be what they are.
Excuse me? You want to explain that?
I beg your pardon?
They could be what they are. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean if they're Muslims, or if they're black, or if they're whatever else was in that story.
You honestly didn't see anything offensive with the adjectives used to describe those people?
I wasn't even thinking. I was just reading something that had been in the newspaper.
So if something from the Ku Klux Klan comes to you...
Did you want me to change it?
If something from the Ku Klux Klan comes to you and it's as racist as hell and violent, you're going to read that?
No,
I wouldn't. Somebody sent it to you?
I wouldn't.
Then it seemed like you could... You're way too old to not be sensitive enough to not realize what you said.
Well, what did I say?
The adjectives used to describe them. How are they described?
Well, I can read them
they're
to you.
Unemployed, they're welfare cheats, they're illegal immigrants, gangbangers. Everything you used to describe the people
offensive.
Of color was offensive and negative.
Right, and I apologize for it. I'm really sorry.
You just said that you apologize because you heard him, not because you think you said anything wrong.
Yeah,
and
I heard them because they were wrong.
You still don't think anything was wrong with that joke, do you?
Evidently, it was wrong because I'll never be doing that again.
But do you think anything was wrong with that joke?
Well, in retrospect, it was crude.
At best.
It was crude.
Thank you, my brother. Because I need to go pretty soon. Simba made a really good point. I think that as we mature adults who have lived in a time in our country where this kind of stuff was every day, and people felt bad every day and scared for their lives at some point, because it's usually the precursor, as you know, and what was alluded to the night we spoke, our president has been so disrespected. The comment blew smoke up the ass. I heard your past commentaries about our president, and that is your feeling, is that he has smoke up our ass.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Beginning to connect something that has nothing to do with anything. I didn't vote for him, and I'll tell you why. I liked him, and I was thrilled when I found out that he was going to be our president, and I wrote a commentary on that, saying that I'm so proud that I have lived long enough to see this country be big enough to vote for a black when in the 1920s and 30s.
Ma'am, I think our listeners are going to read your past commentaries. I'm sorry I digressed to that point.
But I don't like the direction that our president is taking now.
That has nothing to do with the color of his skin.
I didn't vote for him.
I hear you.
You really believe that doesn't have anything to do with the color of his skin?
Absolutely. Not. I'm Jewish, and you're ridiculous. I don't want universal health care, and just because Obama's trying to push it because he thinks it's the right thing, you think that I'm doing this because he's black?
Come on.
You're way off base.
My brother, let me finish this up.
This is nonsense, and he's putting together the blowing up your ass. You're so angry that you're not even thinking straight.
Really, at this point, I am no longer angry with you.
Thank you.
Okay,
I apologize to you, and I'm not going to be using these words anymore.
I understand.
What else can I say?
Let him talk now.
And for me, what really was the trigger was not only the telling of this story of the minorities who perished, and two white folks did not, for they were at work. They were not there when the fire started. You started this preface with, it is chuckle time. This was supposed to be a light, to get away from the 6 month oppression that we've been feeling, as you stated. And you start off, it's now time for chuckle time. And these are the, and that's your perspective. And as I spoke to you that night, you were looking at things from your side of the fence, but on this side of the fence, it pissed some people off.
The rest of the jokes that were funny, and a lot of people called and said, you know, this was fun. No, but.
And I bet they all, everybody that called you was white. I bet you any amount of money.
Well, that I bet you I don't know. I don't look at people's color.
No, but not. I bet you not one person of color thought that joke was funny.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
And the only reason that the white people thought it was funny is because the remnants of racism that are still here in this country is the only reason
that was the way it was written
it was
in
funny.
The newspaper.
My
I didn't
just
make
because,
it up.
But just because it was,
I shouldn't
because,
have read it.
Just because it was written in the paper doesn't mean anything.
You're right.
Because
I
you
should
have
not.
To, you have to use some discrimination.
You're
you have to use
right,
some discretion.
And I agree with you. I learned a lesson.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to hurt any. It's not worth telling any jokes if you're going to hurt anybody.
Yeah,
I
mean,
don't want
to. You know, ma'am,
anybody.
I really respect you for that position.
And I mean it.
And you know, it feels to me that there is some genuineness to it.
Oh, there's a lot of it.
I feel you on that.
Yeah.
When you told me about your own history.
Yeah.
The only sad, really, what really made me feel sad. Is that it seems that you have forgotten this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
and
please
so
forgive
you have,
me.
You have strong roots yourself.
Yes. And so, but you know, I'm human and I can make, and I'm old and I make mistakes.
Well,
and I learn from them, too.
We're living in an era now where forgiveness has to be the rule of the day.
Right.
And, you know, I forgive you.
Thank you. Can we talk about our president, please?
I would rather not, but you can speak to.
Well, I want you to know that I don't look at his color. I love the fact that we have a president who is black. It's the most wonderful thing
that's
happened to us.
There's no way in the world you can't look at his color. There's no way in hell you cannot look at this man's color. There's never been an African-American president in the history of the world. There's, I mean, the fact that...
It's the first time it's happened.
But you can't ignore that he's an African-American because to do that would be to just deny his whole experience as a human being because as he has experienced, his life has been the experience of an African-American male. Hasn't been as a president of the United States. His history is as an African-American male.
For you
to just deny that
Well,
you said you don't see it, and there's no way in hell you can't see it because he's obviously African-American.
But you so guys you can, are insinuating, both of you and guys are insinuating that my mother is against...
I'm not insinuating anything yet.
You said it. I heard you say it.
I think that the present attitude about the president allows people to say things they wouldn't normally say, like that joke.
No!
Yes, I think the attitudes in Washington, the attitudes that people have about Washington have a lot to do with what comes out in the popular culture.
No.
Ma'am, you may find yourself exclusive to what he is saying. But Brother Simba is so correct.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, my Lord. You have no... I can see that there's kind of a disconnect.
Oh, man. There's nothing...
People carrying a...
Listen to some of these town hall meetings.
Yeah.
You're on the defensive every second of your life.
People are carrying AR-15 semi-automatic weapons to listen to Obama. That is unheard of that people would carry guns to a rally for a president of the United States. That is unheard of.
That's ridiculous. I never heard of that.
You haven't heard that these guys have been going to these town hall meetings with weapons strapped to their sides?
No. That's right.
You need to see the news a little bit more then because it's all over the news. There's no way you can't ignore that.
And
all I'm saying is that the attitude right now that a lot of European Americans, white people, have about the president is coming out in a lot of different ways.
Well,
and one of the ways, just a minute, and one of the ways it's coming out is in jokes like that aren't funny.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing even funny about the jokes.
See, I'm not going to contribute to that anymore. There are
times that I have seen things that I think are completely racist, but they're funny as hell to me.
Okay.
But so I, you know, like, Like the joke saying that the Ku Klux Klan is the original Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
That's funny as hell to me.
I don't know anything about, that.
And it's about race, and if you look at it the wrong way, yes, it's racist. I used to think that Amos and Andy was funny, but that was only to me if I thought that it was only among people of color. If it was just black people that listened to Amos and Andy, it'd be one thing. But having white people listen to them and think that that is the way African-American people act was a big, big mistake.
Absolutely.
Okay? That's why you don't see it on anymore.
I know, but like I said, some things that aren't in that aren't funny in everybody's culture sometimes is funny if you take the stuff out of it, this if you don't get so offended by it.
Okay.
Sometimes it can be funny.
Please.
But the adjectives used to describe the three groups of people that died, they were unemployed, they were welfare cheats.
Well, they were home. That's why they died.
Exactly.
That's
and that's part of the joke, too, that's offensive, is that all these people of color didn't have a job. The only people that worked were the white people. And you can't find that offensive?
Yeah, it is offensive.
Okay, thank you.
It's then, unfortunate.
Okay, and we as people need to figure out how we keep going to that place, because we have to eliminate these things sooner or later, once and for all, because if we don't, we're about to see, and I hate to say it, but it looks like we're going for a race war.
No.
That a lot of,
no, we don't
ma'am,
we're looking at this from a different perspective.
You really have to hear this, because Simba may not describe it the way I am, but I'm telling you, he's right on target.
Okay, well, would you do me a favor, both of you, and just open up your own minds and listen.
Yes.
Just listen to something else.
I wouldn't be here if I didn't have my mind open.
I'm so glad you came.
I wouldn't even be here.
Listen to this little issue. Up until the time that our president decided things are so bad that we have to have a stimulus package to prop the country up. Up until then, please believe me, I was for him and what he was doing. I was a little apprehensive when he said he wants to spread the wealth. That means taking money away from me and giving it to other people who don't want to work. But
where do you get that from?
Because
that is giving it to people that don't want to work.
No,
we're trying to make sure that people have health care that don't have health care.
They should
have
it. They should have health care. You didn't let me finish my point. That's not fair.
Please.
So up until the time we had the stimulus thing, I was for whatever Obama was trying to do. This was good. But it was a very big law, and we were all flabbergasted because we're talking about trillions of dollars. And he tried to make the people and the Congress feel better by telling us, please don't worry, we're going to give you 5 days. The public has a right to look into what we're going to be doing with the stimulus package for 5 days, and the Congress is going to be allowed to look at it before they make any decisions, because this thing has 1,000 pages in it. And then the president reneged. He didn't let me read it or anybody else in the country read it, and he didn't even let the Congress read it. And we indebted ourselves to billions of dollars. He lied to us.
What are you talking about that nobody
lied,
got to read it?
What are you talking about?
Where do you get this information from? Are you listening to Fox? Because they're the only people that are stupid enough to say things like that.
Did you get to read it?
No, but I know it's online, and if I want to read it, it's right there.
Now it's here after he got the vote in. He lied.
There hasn't been a vote on it
yet. The Congress didn't read it. Whoever heard?
There hasn't been a vote on it yet.
And Obama did it. And it doesn't matter if he's black or white or red.
Yeah,
he lied to us.
Poor Mr. Byers has to leave in a few minutes, so let him talk here.
I'm finished. Since then, I don't trust Mr. Obama because I don't trust liars.
You know, I think that's what makes this country so damn beautiful.
Yeah.
People can have their opinions.
These are not opinions, these are facts.
And they can have their they can express with freedom of speech whether political rhetoric, whichever direction it leads to. And I have an open mind.
You don't believe what I just said?
I have an open mind.
Okay, then there's nothing to talk about.
They believe what they choose to believe.
And
I think that is the American way. Now, primarily, my involvement here today is not to get into this political rhetoric stuff. I know where
this isn't rhetoric. We're talking about telling the truth or lying.
I know where you're coming from.
Okay.
I appreciate where you're coming from. You know, I'm just not on the same camp, and that's what we got to live with. We're on different camps.
Okay, I'm going to try not to hurt you anymore. I'll be more sensitive.
At some point, as human beings and as Americans, we are going to respect that thread that binds us all. The have and the have not. We are almost in an apartheid situation. Now, I know you don't see it because you are on that side of the track.
I do see it.
But on this side, I see it so strongly because it affects me. As I walk down the street, as I participate in injustice in our society, I am reminded. I can't escape it. Don't care to escape it either. But I'm comfortable. I always face it head on. Today, ma'am, we have had a conversation around it's chuckle time. Okay? I am satisfied.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate you and your son calling me that night. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with a thing you said, but that's all right. You know, with me. Okay?
And, well, I think it was great that you left your telephone number because there are people that call and say things that are ugly and don't sign their names and don't even...
Well, you did the
right thing.
The thing that made me softer in my relating to you is that I heard your voice and I heard your story. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I sincerely hope that in the future you consider your roots and your story. And now I think you've learned a lesson here.
I did.
And I bet with that, hey, that's the American way. We talked about it, and I hope to see you guys at the picnic on September 6th. I would love to shake your hand and give you a hug.
Oh, good.
And likewise with your...
Well, Michael and I, we're honored that you invited us to your picnic, and I, for one, would love to come.
Well, I have some tickets right here, so you can buy them before I leave.
Brother Simba, thank you very much for sitting in over there for me.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael, thank you for inviting this. And it was
there's something else I want to invite, okay? Now, I know you have to leave by 11, but that's 16 minutes from now. You have said that you have heard my mother's commentaries over the months, and most of them were anti. You know what her feelings are about what President Obama is doing. I am offended that either you or anybody else would attribute my mother's feelings about what our president, I don't care what color he is, okay? It could have been George Bush. It could have been Bill Clinton.
Talking about.
I'm telling you, if George Bush was going in this direction, my mother would be just as critical of him as she has been of Obama. And it offends me. Yes, it offends me that you guys think that her feelings about what our president, the direction that our president is shepherding this country right now, and she is very upset with that, as am I. And I am very, very, very offended that both of you guys believe that is racial motivated. I heard you both say that during this program,
I didn't say it was racially motivated.
You said that it's because he's black that she's against him. This will be replayed tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, as we always do.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is not exactly what you guys said, I will publicly apologize to both of you.
I was very offended by
what I heard.
Michael.
Yeah.
And probably you should be offended because I'm sorry that sometimes I think people can be really kind of clueless as to what affects their judgment and how they experience things. Because I tell you, there's no way in hell, and if you listen to the town hall, if you're listening to the poisonous vomitus that's being spewed, I'm sorry, you guys. You might not be like them, but you sure as hell sound like them.
No, but it's okay. Not personal. Okay.
It's his right. It's his right to feel that way.
But the audience, huh? Aren't they going to be able to talk?
Yeah. We got the lines have been jammed forever, but I haven't invited anybody yet.
While he's still here.
Oh well, that would be nice. But I do want to say one more thing. Will you stay for until you have to leave at 11? Or do you have to leave earlier?
I have 15 minutes.
Okay, good. All right, but I just want to say this. And can I call you Othea? You call me Michael, I get to call you Othea.
Please.
All right, thank you, Othea. You have been listening to my mother's commentaries about President Obama.
Yes.
And I want to invite you, when you hear things like that you disagree with, to call the radio programs. We have
Michael,
6 hours of...
Michael, I'm going to tell you why I don't do that. It's because I don't mix up my... I don't get into this political rhetoric stuff. You know, I stay within a like-minded network of friends, okay? And we, when there are voting to be done, we go out and we vote. If people step across the line like it's chuckle time.
Yeah, but you discredited me by sending to City on the Hill and Good Times terrible things about me, unless you also you should have also sent the joke or the story and let the audience decide how terrible I am, okay? Did you do that?
And nobody's saying you were a terrible person.
Well,
that was a horrible joke. It wasn't funny. It was totally insensitive.
Yes.
And it was so...
Okay. How many more times do we have to go through
No,
this?
We don't. As far as I'm concerned...
With you, everybody... If you think that if anybody is black... that the people who are white are not going to like them. That's nonsense.
And what I said about Obama, I said the attitude that the country is getting because
we have
a black president, what I said was that I feel that the attitude that the country is engendering right now because we have a black president is causing rhetoric and actions that are unheard of.
Well, it's
and that is because he is black. I didn't say that you had a problem with him because he's
there
black.
Could be some, I said the that's the way I heard it, and that's the way my mom heard it, and I'll bet that's the way the audience heard it. Okay?
That's not what I said, though.
Okay.
What I said was
maybe I'm as emotionally hair triggered as you guys are.
How am I emotionally hair triggered because I don't like people saying nasty racist things? I mean, if we told a joke about dirty Jew killing money grubbing Jews,
we hear it all the time.
But wait a minute, if I read that a joke about dirty money grubbing Jew killing Jews, I mean Christ killing Jews, would you be offended by that? By the adjectives that I used to describe Jews.
There are some who are like that.
But would you be offended if I described Jews that way?
Well, you wouldn't be talking about all Jews. You'll be talking about some of them. Look, there are good blacks and there are bad blacks.
How come nobody in this joke had a job except for the white people?
How do I know?
Well, see, that's one thing about comedy.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I do
if you go down to
time,
Pacific,
have,
whites. All the whites down, not all of them, but there are young people down there who don't want to have a job. They just play their music and kid around.
And what's it got to do with this?
About not wanting a job. They'd rather be on welfare.
And that's what the joke seemed to be.
Nothing to do
and
with
that's,
color.
That seemed to be what the joke was implying. That's what the joke was implying, is that people of color would rather be on welfare.
It was something in the newspaper because...
What newspaper did you read this in? And you need to stop reading it.
People send me stuff, and I figured if Al Sharpton and the other guy were...
That's part of the joke, too, that's offensive.
Oh, that's
is that these
it.
Two guys would come from wherever they are to stand up for some
don't
people
you,
that were
don't you
that
want
were
us
drug
to move
dealers.
On.
And
don't you want us to move on from
okay,
there?
Okay, yeah, let's move on. Let's let some callers call in, okay, before
hurry up.
Before Othea has to leave here. Okay, Bruce Engelhart in Santa Cruz.
Hey, Bruce.
Do you know Bruce Engelhart?
He's another member of NAACP.
Okay, Bruce, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hello, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. And
yeah.
I'm sorry, but I have a few comments to make on the quote joke unquote myself, and particularly about the source of the joke. And as a person who studied journalism and read newspapers since I was first able to read at all, I've never read a newspaper article where they identified the ethnicity and the lifestyle and the alleged lifestyles and sources of income of the people who were victims in such a situation. I'm amazed that you quoted a story that seems to have no attribution.
Well, I guess it was a nasty joke, and I shouldn't have told it, and I'm sorry
You're
I
right.
did.
It,
because
You're
the thing
right.
the thing is it's not just that the joke was in grossly bad taste, but jokes like that have consequences.
You're right.
As a Jew, I'm well who grew up in the very close aftermath to World War II. I'm very aware that it's jokes like that that were able to dehumanize Jews
right.
and make it possible for the Nazis and their collaborators
to take away part of my family. Right. You're
so
right.
So you should be extra sensitive.
You're right. I made a human mistake and I'm sorry.
And
I won't do it again.
And also, as far as the recipients of public assistance, If you're talking about some people who may not want to work or whatever, then you should say some people and not put it as imply through the language.
I didn't imply anything. I just said the ones that spend their time doing nothing downtown except they're not working.
Well,
that's all.
You said that now, but on previous occasions, or particularly. In fact, in your commentary earlier, that you kind of referred to it as a broad group.
When was that?
Well, just earlier in the discussion, and then later you corrected
you said
yourself.
You said in a commentary.
Well,
I don't put things like
but
that.
But I mean earlier
commentaries. I go after our political leaders, and if I think they're doing something wrong for the people, I mention it.
But,
that's all.
But basically, I just have to say that as a Jew, I try to imagine that I try to know that what I would be offended by and what I have been offended by, what's hurt me by comments people have made to me and about other Jews, also applies to other people, other minorities.
Right.
And my father risked his life fighting in World War II to.
And so did my husband. My World War II, my husband was in there.
No.
Right.
Anyhow, Bruce, want to thank you. There's a number of other callers here we want to get to before Othea has to leave.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling KSCO. Here's James in Seaside. Welcome to the Saturday special, James. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Michael.
Hi, James.
Yeah, how's everything going? Well, I see how it's going.
You know the answer to that question.
But, Michael, I'm one of those guys that the guys that you're talking to now call Uncle Tom. Because I don't know if you remember Buck Owens and that show he had on, back in the 60s and 70s. Do you remember that?
Hee-haw. Hee-haw.
Now, Michael, did you see Hee-haw as being derogatory toward the white race?
No. I didn't watch it very much, but I did watch it a few times. It wasn't my favorite.
For some reason, everything that we had good actors at doing, we see it as bad. But I saw the Amos and Andy show as a good way to sit down once a week and watch some good entertainment.
Yeah.
But see, most of the people in my race, Michael, see that as derogatory.
At best.
But it's just as derogatory as Hee-Haw was. I see Amos and Andy as being a show where they had some really good actors that could captivate white and black for a whole half an hour to sit down and have some good entertainment. But most of my people don't see it that way, Michael.
Nope.
And I don't know what the difference is between free speech and free feeling. You know, you're not allowed to have any feeling whatsoever unless you're thinking good and fuzzy stuff all the time. The world is not made that way, Michael. And it's time for my people to get off that wagon, going nowhere, and start trying to make their life and their people's life better instead of looking for excuses why this is going on and that's going on, because it don't get nobody nowhere.
So are you saying that we shouldn't object to the racist comments?
You can't go around and be or what you call a safety checker for everything that's written. Everything that's said.
No, there's no way you can. But are you saying that it's okay to use to say racist things because we need to get past it? Is that what I hear you saying?
I'm saying that everybody, to include blacks that's born in America, has got freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And we don't have no freedom of speech checkers in America.
No, but see, I used to be chair of the ACLU here in Santa Cruz. And one of the things that I am most proud of about the ACLU is that they defend everybody's right at the same time that everybody has the same rights. I mean,
I never hear you.
The ACLU caught a lot of hell back when I was younger.
I never hear you that Buck Owens was bad for white people like Amos and Anna was bad for black people. Why didn't you say that?
Well, he's not white, for one thing.
And I did. Sometimes I thought, well, good grief, that was kind of weird to have something talk about rednecks that badly, you know, or to call people rednecks that weren't necessarily. What?
Did you ever call their show and say they were being derogatory?
What? But did I call Hee Haw?
Poor Kate made a statement out of a paper that she read from, and you were saying she the worst person in the world.
Where do y'all get this stuff from? I didn't say anything resembling that.
He was invited to a picnic, which is nice. But I know what James is saying. James is saying the same thing that I asked in the promo. I don't know if you guys caught it or not. Can't we just chill out a little bit and make the world better?
We have people.
You know, I don't get offended about Jew jokes. My mother doesn't get offended by Jew
jokes. People,
why do you guys have to get offended?
We have people going to town hall meetings with guns strapped to their sides because they don't like what the president's doing. That is unheard of. And I've never heard anybody going to a rally with a gun strapped to their side. Or an AR-15 automatic rifle slung over their shoulder. I saw it on television. I saw the man with the AR-15 automatic rifle on his shoulder. I saw the guy with a .45 automatic strapped to his leg. That is unheard of. And I think that this happened because of the color of this man's skin. If he was a white man, I don't think they would feel so threatened. But the fact that he's black and he's changing things makes it even worse. It makes people feel so threatened. And the thing that scares me most is that, like, I tell people constantly, Adolf Hitler didn't kill not one Jew, as far as I know. Adolf Hitler did not kill anybody. His followers is what killed people. And that's what scares me here in America right now, is that people are following the people in Fox News. They're following Glenn Beck. They're following Rush Limbaugh.
And they're following Barack Obama, too.
They're following these complete idiots that are talking about, his administration being so corrupt, being so out of it. But that's not the point. The point is our attitudes. And being followers, because like I said, Hitler didn't kill not one Jew. Okay? His followers killed Jews. Right. And that's what I'm afraid of is going on right now, is that the rhetoric and the attitude that Fox News and various commentators are having is ramping up this thing to a point that people are ready to do violence against the president.
Now, you might want to call it.
You don't see it that way.
I think we're all worried about
everybody in the studio be quiet. Let the people on the telephone talk.
As a person that grew up in, you grew up in York, South Carolina, in the time of the Ku Klux Klan. But you know what, Michael? The Ku Klux Klan will never live again in York, South Carolina. The young people in York, South Carolina are not like we were when we were kids. The white, the black, the Mexican, the Puerto Ricans, Everybody has found a way to get along a lot better than we did.
Did you know militias are right now quadrupling at a rate, I mean, are being multiplied at a rate never heard of before? The militias, but, these white militias that are intent on doing harm to Barack Obama. You know that this, that where... Read something, please, lady. Read something.
Okay,
read something besides.
Okay,
read something.
Okay, I'm
going to turn off everybody's mic. I just turned off mine. It's 11 o'clock. I'm supposed to give the legal ID. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Normally, we would go into Fox News now, but out of respect to our guests, out of respect to our, your mic was turned off, so the people didn't get to hear your comment. It's on now, so you can make the comment. What did you just say?
You just said you were going to have Fox News on, and I just thought, oh, God forbid.
Okay.
We're
going to
follow
what?
This up with Fox News.
We are going to honor your request for two reasons. Out of respect to you and Othea, our guest today, that I'm very, very thankful you guys came, because so many people who disagree with what they hear on KSCO refuse to either call in or have anything to do with us, and I really appreciate. Yeah. Okay, so out of respect for you,
too.
we're gonna. I'm making the executive decision about we're not gonna play Fox News 11 o'clock today.
Yeah.
The other reason for that is there's a lot to talk about, and we only have an hour. And poor Othea's got to go, but I understand you're gonna be listening to us on your way up to the East Bay, right, Othea? Oh, yeah. Your mic was down. What did you say?
I said, yes, I will be listening.
Okay, and you do have a cell phone, so if there's something you need to say, feel free to give us a call back, and we'll put you right on. Assuming we could get you through. Nikki will give you the back number, because the phone lines are going to be jammed,
okay.
I'm sure. So I'll put him on hold. You can give him the number. Nikki, okay?
And thanks a lot, Othea, for having written and brought this to our attention, because it definitely needs to be dealt with. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You're quite welcome.
Okay.
Why do you say it needs to be dealt with?
What? Why do I think racism needs to be dealt with?
You say what was said needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Because
it was racist.
Generalizations and racial profiling has to stop. You feed into the haters that are already out there and existing,
how do you get
and you hear about them. So I trust that Kay will not be doing that again. We won't be hearing that from you guys again.
And I want to thank you for leaving your telephone number so that we could call and really talk to each other.
Kay, please listen to this old man, will you? You have got freedom of speech just like everybody else in the world has got freedom of speech. And don't let these people back you into a corner because they want to keep a job. You know, I don't know what kind of job they got other than the job of looking for trouble.
No, I speak my mind because I have a microphone and I have to tell the truth.
Where did that come from?
And it has nothing to do with the color of anybody's skin. And If you think that the only way we should get through the next 4 or 8 years is not say anything derogatory about our president because he's black, that's ridiculous. You can't do that.
I think you're mixing issues here.
That's what you're hung up on.
It's not a hang up when you see things that are derogatory and hurtful, because like Othea said, one of the ways that you get to do nasty things to people is to dehumanize them, to make them less than. Yeah. And that joke is one of the things that it makes people less than.
But that has nothing to do with my criticizing the things that our president is doing or not doing. If he lies, he lies. I'm not going to say he wouldn't.
That is offensive, but I don't even want to get into that.
Okay.
All I want to do is the gentleman, and I got a sticky suspicion you are an Afro-American, and for you to say that we are doing this to cause trouble?
Well, you know, they thought that about Martin Luther King. There are a lot of black people that wanted him.
I'm retired.
There were a lot of black people that wanted Martin Luther King to shut the hell up because they felt like he was causing problems because he was stirring things up.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the attitude that I hear this James person having, that we're stirring things up unnecessarily. Well, there's a phrase called...
Stay tuned to the news, James, and stay tuned to the town hall meeting and listen to your counterparts spew their hate. And you say, you tell me who is starting trouble.
And then...
Okay? And I've been working mental health for 30 years, retired finally. Brother, if you are a brother, you sound like one, check yourself. Go back and check yourself. And I'm through. I'm gonna be listening. And thank you for inviting me and participating, Brother Simba. I thank you very much for standing in for me over there.
My pleasure.
And I'm out.
Okay. Okay. No. And all right. And to the other
Brother
man
Simba.
that was speaking. Yeah.
Drive safely, Othea.
Yeah,
thank you.
Please. Okay. But to the other man that was speaking, I wanted to give him a phrase because I do anti-bias, anti-prejudice work with an organization called National Coalition Building Institute. And one of the things that we deal with in National Coalition Building Institute is a phrase called internalized oppression, which is what I seem to be hearing from James, is that the internalized oppression means at one point you start believing the crap that the oppressor is telling you about yourself. Therefore, you don't stand up for yourself. You don't think of yourself as worthy of being stood up for. And everything that isn't just smooth is trouble. So, internalized oppression is a very real thing, and it's very hurtful to African American people. It shows itself in a lot of different ways. Internalized oppression, and I hate to bring this up on this station in particular, but internalized oppression shows itself with African American people with black on black crime. Because black people think so little of themselves because of what has been told to them for 400 freaking years, that some people start to believe that they're inferior. And some white people start to believe that they're superior. There are a lot, like right now, what's going on is the white men are freaking out because they're losing power. Thank God. Why do you think these people are so afraid of Obama? They're losing power. Things aren't going the way they want it to go.
Not.
So I think, of course it is.
But if we're not happy about the idea of socialism, let's
take it off of race for a second, because I really want people to understand the concept of internalized oppression. Internalized oppression shows itself, let's say, in women. Internalized oppression shows itself in anorexia and bulimia, where women are trying to make themselves fit a standard that is impossible to fit. So instead of them being happy with themselves, they internalize the things they don't like about themselves that has been told to them over and over by a male-dominated culture. So I'm trying to get this so you understand internalized oppression without the racial aspect of it, that it is a psychological happening that happens to people that have been under another people for a long period of time. They start believing the crap that's being told about them. So when I hear jokes with those kind of adjectives, they're unemployed, they're gangbangers, they're, you know, the adjectives that were used, that affects people's opinions. If I'm listening, if a 10, 11, 12-year-old is listening to this program, which I hope they aren't, but if they are, they're listening to that joke. They hear the negative things. They don't hear that you're a wonderful woman, that you've been through your experiences as a Jewish person, but they hear the internalized oppression. They hear the oppression coming through, and it starts them having opinions. It makes their opinions, because that's where young people get their opinions.
Right.
It's from
you're
what's around them.
Yeah.
So when we hear this rhetoric,
he's not right. If he feel like a young kid today can't determine whether something is a joke or whether it's real life, he's living in a fantasy land. And he's trying to make me feel like I should have this organization that he belongs to or that he's the head of or whatever it is, and I don't. I retired from the Army as an E-8 in 1995. But when I went into the Army, everybody told me I was black and I'm not going to make any rank. If I had listened to those people, Kate, I would have never retired from the Army.
Good for you.
And I want this guy to know, I don't need his organization to tell me what I felt like when Martin Luther King was marching and all that stuff. He never looked at the reason that people felt like he was causing trouble why they felt that way. If you only got one job to provide for your family and somebody is making it look like you're going to lose that job, what are you going to think? Are you going to think positive about them? No. Yeah. You're going to think just like most Americans thought at that time, Martin Luther King was causing trouble. Because I used to see the word look in my father's face at night when he came home from work and all that stuff was going on. He was wondering what he's still going to be able to provide for his family. That's why he felt that way. It wasn't because he felt like he was less than a man or he couldn't hold his own, because my father had 11 children and he was making $25 a week and he feared every one of us. Now, if that was what caused him to feel like Martin Luther King was causing problems, then he felt that way. But I tell you right now, if you think that a kid's going to listen to a joke and think that is the way people see him, you got to be living in fantasy land.
Yep.
Because kids nowadays are not as dumb as I was, and I wouldn't have thought that when I was a kid.
No, but opinions are formed by what you hear. As a young person, your opinions are formed by what's around you. If your parents are very liberal and they're loving and they, you know, try to do things to help this planet and help this culture, is one thing. But if you're listening to somebody that's having nothing to do with that, they have no a desire to see things change to get better.
But they are getting better. Why can't you see that?
Well, see, you can't have it both ways. Either things are getting better or they're going to hell. Because you just talked about how things are pretty much going to hell since Obama's been in for the last 6 months, right?
That's what you say, right? But wait a minute. I think that race relations are much better than they've ever been.
Well, see, that's because you're a white person.
No, why?
Yes, because talk to people of color and they'll tell you things have not changed that much. We have a black president, but other than that, nothing has changed.
Maybe they haven't changed for you, but I tell you what, things have changed so much for me until I'm in disbelief. And maybe that's because I'm a Republican and because I believed in the Republican way.
Obviously.
It's because somebody felt sorry for me and decided to make my life as easy as it is right now. But I think it was because of hard work, a mindset that I could do for myself, and that was what made my life different.
Well, the fact that we have a black president is reason enough to demonstrate what my mother said. It's relations are better than they've ever been. Because that couldn't have happened even 5 years ago, I don't think.
But see, I think that black people now feel, Michael, that everything should be free now. You got to work just as hard with a black president as you
did
with George.
Where do you get this stuff from? Nobody wants anything to be free. We want to work for what we have just like anybody else. However, when people work and work and work and get very little, and people at the top are making millions of dollars on the backs of the people that are doing this, it just doesn't make sense. You know, if the deal with capitalism has to have some kind of regulations, because if it didn't, people with their attitudes and greed and the way this culture was founded on somebody else's back, the way this culture was founded on genocide, the way this culture, and these things still run through our culture. These things didn't disappear because we had a black president. We still have most people going to prison are African American. Most people that are being executed African American. I mean, you know, there are statistics that even if we have the same education, the same income, if I went to a doctor, I would get statistically, it's been proven over and over, that I would get less care than a white person with the exact same situation. And it's been proved over and over and over. And it's still happening. It didn't go away because we have a black president. It may have heightened some people's attitudes. Like I said, people going to rallies with guns strapped to their sides and AR-15 automatic rifles is unheard of. And I think that is happening because the people in the right-wing media are constantly harping about this man being dangerous, so people actually believe that he's dangerous.
Do you think there's a right-wing media besides Fox?
I'm so far left that I think that most of them are right-wing.
Okay.
I'm very far left of anything you can think of.
Okay.
So, yeah, I do believe that.
All right. Yeah, James, you want to respond to any of that? You were trying to say something, I think.
I wanted to ask you, why did he go to a black doctor if he thought white doctors were so bad?
Yeah, I think you totally missed what I was saying. Completely missed what I was saying. What I was saying is that it has been proved over and over and over that if a person of color goes into a doctor and they have the exact same situation as a white person, that person of color will get less care. The care will not be as good. And it's been proven over and over and over. Matter of fact, doctors said that they were surprised that they thought it would be different. But the doctors even acknowledged that this is going on. And it surprised them because they thought they were past it. We are not past these things. We need to deal with them. And the only way we can deal with them is to talk about them. And it doesn't mean that I'm calling anybody any names. I haven't called anybody anything as far as I know. And I don't. That's not how I work. We need to discuss things in a nice, calm, rational manner. And the only way we can do that is to confront the situations that have brought these things to our attention in the first place. We cannot ignore them as African-American people, as people of color, because when you ignore things like that, you end up getting lynched. You end up with laws like Prop 187, I think it was 187, where they're, you know, just denying people everything that they can possibly deny, illegal immigrants and stuff. So as a culture, we have to start talking to each other on a realistic level without getting pissed off at each other, you know, because I'm not angry.
Well, that's what
right
we're doing
now.
Today.
Yeah, well, it seems like James is a little angry.
You can't always say that he's wrong and you're right either. You know, you got to talk with an open mind.
Well, that's what I'm doing, James. I'm trying my best to listen. And hearing an African-American man say the things you say is really blowing me away, because hearing white conservatives is one thing. Hearing a black conservative is something very different for me.
What is your name again? I am conservative. I'm very conservative.
I know. I can tell.
What's your name again?
His name is Simba.
Simba. Kenyatta.
Simba, my name is James.
Yeah, I
live in America. I took the American name because I was proud to be an American. And I'm still proud to be an
American.
Well,
I took another name because I don't like slave names. Do you know that your name came from slavery? You know your last name came from who owned you. That's what African-American people's last names come from. They came from the people that own them. I decided that I don't want to have the name of a slave owner. So I changed it to Kenyatta because there are no slaughters. My last name used to be Slaughter, which is German. I am hardly German. You know, so I think it may be more accurate for us to take the names that represent who we actually are. And having a name that came from a slave owner, after 300 years or 400 years of this stuff, and we're going to still go by slave owners' names? I don't like that. It's not good. Like my son used to tell people when he was 2-3 years old, I don't have a slave name. And people would ask him, what are you talking about? And he would explain to them at 2-3 years old, well, black people in America are named after who owned them. And my daddy said, don't nobody own us. So I don't have a slave name. I don't know did you know that your name, your last name came from who owned your family?
Yes, I did.
You did?
See, when my great-grandfather died, everything in our family that had to do with slavery, it died along with it.
Wrong? No, because the way African-American people treat each other is a direct extension of slavery. So, no, it didn't go away. The way black people treat each other and treat themselves is a direct extension of slavery. So, no, it did not end at all. The institution of slavery itself ended.
But the attitudes
that promote slavery and stuff did not change. And there are still people here that would just assume you be back in the cotton field, brother. There are people that feel that way. I'm sorry. I wish you weren't.
That'll never happen again. That'll never happen again if this world lasts another 100 years.
Watch what's going on right now. Watch what's going on, and watch this cultural slash race war that's being promulgated by people in militias, by, you know, European Americans that have these attitudes. So I'm afraid right now because I'm watching people arm themselves because they're afraid of a black man being president. They're arming themselves
because they're afraid of the government coming to kill them.
How in the hell is the government going to come and kill you?
Because some people believe that, and I'm starting to become one of those people.
Are you stupid enough to believe in death panels?
Huh?
Are you stupid enough to believe a bunch of Palins talk about death panels? You're
damn
not that stupid.
Right,
you're
I am.
You're that ignorant?
Damn right, I'm that
you
smart.
Really think, you really
damn
think that,
right,
you
I am.
You honestly think
yes.
that this, that
yes.
That, did
and,
you read
and
it?
I am happy
have you read
to
it?
Give you.
Have you read
and
it?
I, yes. And,
okay,
and I
know, it talks about discussing end of life issues. It doesn't talk about death panels. It talks about that the government should help pay when you have to talk about going into a hospice.
Yeah,
a hospice means that you have less than 6 months to live. right? Yeah. So that they're talking about the fact that you may be able to go talk to a doctor about end-of-life issues, about whether you want a living will or not, right, whether you want to have a DNR, a do-not-resuscitate part of your life.
That's always, you know, been talked about.
But
it's talked about every time you go to the damn hospital.
And they're saying now...
That's always the way it's been.
And they're saying that it would be good for people to be able to do that and get reimbursed for having to go through that. That is all it says. It says nothing about death panels. It says nothing about pulling the plug on anybody. It says nothing about anything resembling that. And it pisses me off so much that people... Just a minute.
Maybe you're right.
Because that one pisses me off because people aren't paying attention to what they're getting pissed off about. Well, if you're going to get pissed off about something, at least... Freaking get it right.
What would you know? Do and if the, you were
the,
me?
Just a minute. There are no death panels. The thing it said,
well,
and I'll repeat it.
I'll repeat it.
What people are referring to as death panels is when a person goes to a doctor to talk about their end of life issues, whether it's making a living will or a do not resuscitate part of their medical plan, or that is all it talks about.
We
it does not talk about pulling the plug
on
anybody.
That. We've been doing
we
it
are the government.
Along.
Ma, all he's saying is that they're talking about the doctors being able to be paid for that or the health workers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only thing we'll
and if that and if Fox News or people who like Limbaugh, for example, who broadcast on this station are putting forth intentionally wrong information about that, I agree with you that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
I agree with that.
And I'm glad that you heard that when I was talking about what's actually in the bill. I appreciate you hearing
that. I'm willing to listen to people.
And even if
it's somebody that I know what they're going to say and I disagree, and I'm not saying that. I agree with a lot of what you say, but I disagree with a lot of what you say also.
Yes,
and I'm hoping that you're the kind of person that I am, and that is I will defend your right to say what you say, what you believe, to my death. But there aren't many people out there who disagree with KSCO who are in that category. Most of the people who listen to KSCO, who are on the left, who consider us a local Fox News, wish that we would go away, wish that we were not here, wish that they could somehow censor us, okay? Even though we bend over backwards to have programs such as this, you know, to have all points of view represented. And I don't think that's right, but that's not going to stop me from doing what I'm always going to be as long as I'm in a position to do that with this station. Now, that's a great segue.
Wait a minute. I want to ask Simba something.
Sure.
Simba, you seem to know a lot about what's in these bills if we go through and have universal health care.
Mm-hmm.
As a person who's in her 80s, I happen to know, from what I understand, is that I better not break my hip or something like that, because if I did, under this new universal health care, I wouldn't be able to have my hip fixed. They would say to me, you know, we're not going to spend this kind of money on you. You're too old.
Okay,
you're
going to
die
that?
Pretty soon.
Where did you get that?
I get that from the news.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. You need to watch some news that actually has the truth behind it.
Well, the truth, and a lot of older people are afraid that the only way.
I know.
That is
what's so hurtful to me is that it's the truth.
No, that's the only way Obama's going to have enough money to pay
lady,
for it.
Please.
All right.
There's no way.
Okay, stop. Hey, James, thank you very much for calling. It was a great call. And there were Dan in Santa Clara, Ed in Monte Sereno, Mason in Santa Cruz, Dave Allen, and Rick in San Jose. Wow. We're going to put you up next here, but I want to take a moment to thank everybody. Everybody, it would have been a great segue, but my mom interrupted here. So we were talking about as long as I have anything to do with broadcasting and this radio station, that's the way it's going to be run. We're going to have discussions from all points of view, even points of view that are exactly the opposite of what mine are. Okay, because I think that's the way you get things done, is you have a nice civil discussion. And I think this is a good radio program today, but.
this, I really want to thank people who have responded to my editorial. It's very rare that I do an editorial, but I have to feel very, very strongly about something, and I did this week. I recorded an editorial that that appealed to our listeners to help us. And it's hard for me to do because I don't want to be whimpering help me, help me, help me person. But I put out the word for people, if they like this radio station, they can help us in two ways. Number one, by telling everybody they know about this radio station, because a lot of people don't know about it. People, something has to happen for someone to change their listening habits. We want more and more people to listen to this station. We want more and more advertisers to recognize that because we have more and more people listening, that people can help, can grow their business by advertising on KSCO. And if you don't happen to have a business, as so many of our listeners over the years have said to me, God, if I had a business, I'd be advertising, you know, all the time, you know, on your station. I put the word out that you can make a contribution to KSCO. I'm not saying it's tax deductible. I don't know. If you own a business, it is tax deductible. If you don't own a business, it probably isn't. But just because you don't own a business, if you like your favorite radio station and you want to help us like people help PBS and people help NPR, we're not too proud to accept your donations, your gifts. And I want to take this opportunity to thank Alice Loomis, Leonard Felix, Alan Bailey, Norma Christensen, Peter Chelamidos, and Theodosa Mazuka. And these are just some of the people. I'm going to be thanking more people as time goes on. These are some of the people who have either sent or come in to KSCO with very generous cash contributions to help this radio station keep going. And we love you, and we thank you very, very much. And there's a whole slew of people who have gone to our website, KSCO.com, and either clicked on the left-hand banner that says make a one-time donation, or clicked on the right banner where you can go through PayPal and use your credit card or your PayPal account to either make a monthly $10.80 contribution to KSCO or a one-time fee of your choice. But thank you so much. We are going to be thanking the people who have contributed via PayPal individually. But Carol, our business manager, handed me this list of people who had come in or sent in contributions this week only as a result of listening to my editorial. And I want to apologize. I don't mean to sound like I'm begging here, but we really, really do think that what we have here is special and unique. I don't think there are many independently owned radio stations left in the country because of corporate America and because of the government. And I think this is something that we should, all of us, have a vested interest in continuing. Anyhow, thanks very much. You're listening to the Saturday special. We're in hour number two. We're talking about racial sensitivity and racial relations, spawned by a commentary that my mother made earlier this week, which contained a joke that was very offensive to some people. And we're talking about that today. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dan in Santa Clara, you're next on the KSCO Saturday special. Welcome.
Hey, Michael. I'm really enjoying the show today, and I definitely am. As soon as I get off this, get off the phone, I'm going to go and send you some money because I listen to your station every day almost and really appreciate it. Okay, so a few things. First, I wanted to ask a question. Simba, could you tell me what the point of the story is that Kay told?
Say again?
I'd like to know from your perspective what the actual point of the story was.
The actual point was to denigrate people of color.
No, it wasn't. The point of the story was that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton went to this apartment fire thinking that the reason why all these black people and Hispanic people died and the white people survived is because of race. And they were wrong. And that's what makes the story funny and interesting, because it illustrates that point.
What point? Say it again. I'm missed something here.
The point is that these two guys went to this apartment fire expecting to find that the reason why these people of color died is because of their race, and it turned out that was not the case.
No, what was the case was that they were either lazy are illegal, are drug dealers. That because
drug dealers are lazy and they do stay home.
If you take all those artists do stay at home
and they don't have jobs.
If you take all of these adjectives out, would the joke be the same to you? If you took all the adjectives about describing them, would the joke still be funny to you?
Sure, because if it was David Duke,
then why is it necessary to say all those things?
White people died in an apartment fire in L.A. Then, and it turned out that it was not because of their skin color. That would be interesting too. And case in point, I don't know if you know this, but the guy who had the AR-15 at the Obama rally
was black.
He was black. Thank you for finally mentioning that.
There were five or six of them there with AR-15s. He was the only one they interviewed.
Redneck wasn't some dirty white redneck in camo, was he? He was a clean cut, nice looking black guy.
Now, Simba, that should have been disclosed earlier.
Yes. And it's guys like you that mislead people and stir up trouble. That's what you do. You stir up trouble, and you see racism where it doesn't exist.
So there was no racism in that joke to you?
No.
It wasn't about, yes, maybe there was a tone of racism.
Thank you. Unapologize.
That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. Did you see racism in that joke?
No, not really.
You just said yes, and okay, you can't have it both ways. You said yes, it was, and now you're saying no, it wasn't. Which one?
I don't think it was a racist joke.
You don't think there was any racist elements in it?
I don't think it was a racist joke.
Do you think there were racist elements in it?
I thought you said, is there an element of... Yeah, definitely there's an element of race, but it's not about racism.
Do you think there was an element of racism in the joke?
No.
No, there was no racism at all.
So describing
those people the way they were described was accurate to you then?
Yes. And because...
Whoa. Are you listening to yourself?
Yes, please. I am, because they were described as drug dealers.
I think you seem to be even a little astounded by that.
I'm looking at
Joe's expression here, and his expression seemed to be a little like he didn't quite get it either. You can't have it both ways. Either there was.
Kate, do you think that I understand the point of the story?
If they let me talk, the point was. The people on those three floors weren't working, and the white people were working.
So the point was that they were black and not working.
Please pay attention to what you're saying.
I shouldn't have described their color and their nationalities. I shouldn't have done that.
That was part of the joke.
That was a big part of the joke.
That's not what makes it funny or interesting.
Nothing makes it funny.
When guys like you are made to look like idiots, it's hilarious, okay? That's why it's funny.
Well, it's a lucky thing you're not Jewish, Simba. It would be nice if somebody did make a fool out of me, but that's not happening yet. Simba, if you were Jewish,
you
wouldn't survive, because the one thing that's kept the Jewish religion alive is that we have a sense of humor.
Thank you. You gotta laugh at yourself sometimes.
I laugh constantly about myself and different things, but if you think that we didn't get it, so we got through this 400 years of slavery and oppression by what?
No, accident?
I can understand
why you're sensitive about this particular thing, but that wasn't my intention at all.
I hear you, and I accept that apology.
Dan in Santa Clara, thank you for calling. Here comes right. Ed in Monte Sereno. Ed, welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSEO.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. And I just want to step forward and thank James for your years in service for this fine country and the military, and I appreciate all that you've done and what you said about defending our country and being the ancestor of of slavery and all that, and I just appreciate you still being patriotic and all that you've been through, James. And to just remark on several things here to Simba, and first of all to Kay, out of respect for you being the owner of the station and the freedom of speech that we do have in this country. I appreciate all the commentaries that you've made over the last several months, and some were funny and some were serious, and they were commentaries, and that's your right. Simba, I think that you're a very eloquent speaker. speaker and very articulate, and I would appreciate it if you could just let me get through my points here before you rebuttal on anything. You said that you don't call people names, but you did say racist and ignorant, calling Michael an ignorant for believing what he thought he understood. But having said all that, you know, you were commenting about capitalism and how it would appear that your perspective that capitalism is a white man's game and that we're the only ones with skin in the game. Well, I know
that's not what I said.
Okay, just please just hold on to your comments. That isn't what you said, but that's what you kind of spoke to. You know, my last name was changed by Ellis Island. My grandfather came over from Greece, and it started with a PH. Now it starts with an F. And so I don't have a real name either. It's been made up. So no one in this world has my name unless they're a direct relative of mine. I don't write books about it or, you know, write commentary about it because it is what it is. God created us all in his image. And so you're a brother, even though I'm not African descent. I'm part Native American, part Russian, and part Greek. So I'm a bit of a mutt. I have some English and some French in me as well, some Scotch-Irish, but predominantly Greek and Native American and Russian. But I don't make any claims to anything. I don't look back at history. There's a lot of oppression in all of those countries in various times in history. And speaking of history, history of guns, it was just 110 years ago that we all walked around with spurs and guns on our holsters to every presidential inauguration and election. And I might also add in history, we've had several white presidents assassinated and attempted to be assassinated. And also in comments to your religion comments earlier, the ACLU does nothing for the Islamic oppression that's going on in Africa and going along in Europe at a pretty steady clip here regarding if you are not converted to Islam, then you're an infidel and you either die or you are imprisoned. Also, the black-on-black crimes based on what you were talking about, internalized oppression, I guess the Vietnamese on Vietnamese crimes and the extortion that happened all through the 20s and 30s on whites is also oppressed, internalized oppression, because there is nothing that compares to crimes in those days where neighborhoods fed off of each other and the crime bosses fed off of those neighborhoods. And the Vietnamese culture, Vietnamese gangs today in San Jose, California, are extremely oppressive of their own. They have nothing to do with other ethnicities. It's only their own people. So, you know, that comment kind of flies in the face. But this internalized oppression commentary that you made, I guess every citizen, not the illegals, because they don't know any better. They're just here trying to make a better living you know, get one off. But the citizens of this country are extremely internalized oppression ridden, because they have a problem of allowing their non-representing representatives run their country. And as far as I know, everyone who pays taxes, and you're forced to and willingly if you're a citizen of this country, they work for the taxpayer, the elected officials, the police, the firemen. All of the public servants, that's why they call them public servants, work for the people of this country. And the people of this country are oppressed because of the media and because of groups like the ACLU not defending what's right instead of defending what they have opinions on. So I'd like to hear some of your comments. And also, you know what, there's one comedian you were saying about how the comedy and changes culture through osmosis because of the way people get perspectives of each other. You know, there's a comedian that was also an extreme capitalist and one of the highest paid entertainers in the world for over a decade, and happens to be black, Mr. Bill Cosby, one of my heroes. Fabulous comedian. And, you know, the radio outreach of KSCO is limited based on its wattage. And, you know, I don't know if you've watched some of the cable networks over the last 20 years, but they've been worse and worse and worse. And over the last 5 years, I would say, there is some racist humor on those channels that would absolutely blow your socks off. And I don't know if you're very familiar with that, but I'm sure that most people watch those comedy shows on the different networks on cable, and those are far better outreach than KSDO. And they obviously don't let that kind of thing change their culture, because we do live in a better country, and it gets better every day. So to your response, sir.
To,
NK.
To what?
anything what you just said, if you want to respond to anything. So.
If I've left you speechless, Simba, that's wonderful, because now Kay can speak.
KK has never been held back from speaking, as far as I can see. I don't think ever. Maybe not just in this studio either. I'm not sure anybody's ever held her back from speaking. But no, I hear what you're saying, and I totally, of course, totally disagree with a lot of it. But yeah. I think, see, because I am a history buff. I majored in history in school. I majored in African American history in college, and you know, so the things that I talk about aren't just coming out of the top of my head. It's because it's backed up by fact and by generations and generations of oppression. So for you to think that, well, I'm still trying to get past this, get my head around you thinking that white Americans are oppressed.
I can't get my head around that one. I think every citizen in this country is oppressed by allowing the government to change the way it has over the last 50 years. And if you, as a history buff, can't see that and understand that, then you've been studying the wrong books.
No, I think that this place has changed. But I also know that there are some undercurrents running through this country that are dangerous. There's undercurrents running through this country that are make me very sad and very afraid. Like I said, Hitler didn't kill not one Jew. It was the followers. It was his followers that did these things. And that's what I'm listening to with right-wing radio. They're ramping things up so much that with the Rush Limbaughs and Glenn Becks and stuff, that people that don't have power are going, well, this is the only way I'm going to have power, is for us to fight against this government, because they're taking what power I have away, which is not true at all.
Okay,
we're trying to make it so that this country is a little more equitable. You know, because people talk about, you know, health care and why should we have – it scares me that people are being taught to – walk against their own best interest. I've heard people say, we don't need health care. I actually heard that come out of somebody's mouth. We don't need health care. Now, that's one of the most ignorant things I've ever heard. We don't need health care. What they're saying is we don't need health care that helps everybody. But if that was the case, you know, like people say, well, I don't want my taxes going here and I don't want taxes going there. I didn't want my taxes going to the Iraq War, but it did, and I didn't have anything to say about that. You don't get to pick and choose where your money goes when you pay your taxes. The money goes to where it helps the best. And if it helps people that don't have unemployment, that don't have health insurance, get health insurance, then that's a good thing.
Now, I think you're talking about 14% of the populace that don't have health insurance. And someone who would say, I don't want health care.
That's 14% too much.
Hold on now.
There should be no one that has no health care. In this country, as rich as it is, everyone should have health care, period.
I think you need to state the facts, though, Simba, because the fact is that everyone in this country does have health care. It's just not insured for 14%.
No. Wait a minute.
You walk into a hospital, sir, and you have a health issue, it will be...
And that's one of the problems, is that people are using emergency rooms as their primary health care. That can't keep working, because we are paying for it anyway. You're saying you don't want to pay for other people's health care? You are doing it every day, because people are going into the emergency rooms every day because they don't have health care.
Kay has a good solution. What is it, Mom?
Lay it on
us. You want to know what my solution is?
Lay it on us.
I don't think that the government should get involved in the health care thing.
So what's the solution?
I think that everybody should have health care, and you're right. This business of using the emergency room is ridiculous. I think that the government should give the people that can't afford to buy their own health care a certain amount of money each year for their families, and let them go and pick of private insurance companies.
That's what the bill is about.
No, it is not about that at all.
That is exactly what it's about.
No, it is.
That is exactly what the bill is about.
Wait a minute. Who's right here, Kay or Simba? Ed, you must know.
Kay is right. The bill does not state that everyone is going to be allotted money to go out and shop around and buy their own health care. It is designed around the government having control over the
everything.
Insurance over health care.
Right.
Well, and actually, that's haven't you noticed, Simba, that Obama's changed his tune lately about that? It used to be about people having, you know, single payer and freedom of choice and this and that. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to lose it if you already have and if you're happy with what you have.
Right.
And suddenly it's changed to villainizing and demonizing the insurance companies. And I sort of go along with a little bit of that myself, actually.
Thank you. That's another example of government doing things. Like the state of California requires that you have insurance for your car. But they are making you pay somebody that's making money on that. Instead of the government of California giving that, they're asking, they're making you go pay some capitalist
insuring somebody else gets rich.
That is not right. Yeah. That is not right. If the government is going to require you to have something, then they need to supply it.
No.
Simba, can I ask?
Well, but not exclusively.
No. If people want to make money, if people want to pay money, knock themselves
let
out.
Let people decide for themselves.
Exactly. Poor people and people that don't have that choice need some help.
Ed, great call. Thanks very much. Let's see. The lackey.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
You're on.
Hey, how you doing, Simba? How
good.
You doing?
I'm all right.
I'm calling in to talk about the editorial. And as a Latino, I don't know that it was racist, but it certainly implied that only white people have jobs.
Thank you.
You know?
It did.
I was certainly offended by it. And as far as the health insurance issue, if we have universal health care, nobody says that rich people can't go and pay cash for their health care.
Yeah.
You know, they do that in many European countries if they're not happy with...
But they're talking about what is... if the government gets into the healthcare business to compete, how can a private enterprise compete with the government? So a lot of these private health companies will go away.
They need to not be so damn greedy. Yeah, it's okay for them to go away if they're not supplying what needs to be supplied at a place at a price that people can actually afford. Then let them go do whatever the hell they need to do.
Okay, Andrew, real quick, you got another point or two to make?
Yes, Medicare has a 3% overhead, which is compared to private companies, which have upwards of 30% or more of overhead. So I think it would be wise to go with the plan that has least overhead because they don't have to transfer that cost down to the customer.
Yep.
So, I'm definitely in favor of some kind of healthcare plan.
With the government involved?
Yeah, sure, definitely.
No, that's the worst.
That doesn't sound like the conservative traffic lackey that I used to know.
Well, no, I'm definitely a conservative, but I'm not a fascist. You know, I don't believe in the rich get richer while the poor get poorer.
And you also seem to have a sense of self-preservation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is pretty essential if we're going to change things so that it helps everybody.
Great. Okay, right. Thank you very much for your call, traffic lackey. Rick in San Jose, you're next on the KSCO Saturday special.
Okay, how you doing, gentlemen?
Okay, Rick.
Pretty radical show.
Yeah.
Hey, go back to a one comment that Simba made a while back, and it really kind of gave me a quantum leap. He said that Hitler never killed a Jew.
He didn't.
But he surrounded himself with people that did. And when you think about the same model that's being created by unelected czars that will take track of all the things that are being put down by Obama's administration, the czars will be the ones that determine it. And when you look at some of the radical lifespan stuff from I can't remember his name, but he thinks that anybody from 0 to 15 is worthless, 15 to 45 is productive, and 45 on would be graded on a curve.
Yeah.
And like Kay said, 80... she wouldn't be able to.
Who said that? Is that Rahm Emanuel's brother?
Who's doing that?
Robert Emanuel's a brother. Ezekiel.
And what did he say?
He says that 0 to 15, the people are not worth anything. They're not productive.
No, and 15 to 40 they are, and then past 45 they're not. Is that what you're saying?
And then 15 to 40
that was redundant.
So my point being is that I believe Barack Obama has an incredible heart for humans. I really believe that. Now, I didn't vote for him, but I also told myself I'm going to win both ways. We're going to either get McCain and get status quo government, or we're going to get Barack Obama, and we're going to have America's going to have a check up from the neck up, and it's going to get people off their butts and get out and do what you guys are doing today. And you know what? I think every human is born with compassion for other humans on their heart already.
Yep.
Yeah.
But sometimes we go in different directions by who we hung out with or what school we went to or whatever. But overall, everybody sitting around your table has compassion for other human beings that can't afford health care or because they had a situation thrown into their life that has not enabled them to get ahead in life, whatever it might be. But what I really want to put the point is that I feel like Simba because I am a prejudice. I mean, they're prejudiced against me because I'm a white 60-year-old man who went through the first meltdown at the FSLIC, and they owed me over $1 million, put me out of business, and bankrupt me because of the meltdown back then, which McCain was part of the cheating five.
Thank you.
Right? And,
yep.
And all of that has destroyed my life. I've stood in line at Safeways to get my money orders to pay my PG&E bill because I couldn't get a checking account. Now I'm white. But you don't see any affirmative action helping me along in my life. I just did what James did. I did what it took. And I'll tell you what, racist is a attitude. It's a mental decision that you make because I shake Kirsten's hand and give him a hug every time I bowl on Thursday night. He's black as you could be black. He's a lovely man. He loves life. He loves to bowl. He's married to a white gal and they've got beautiful kids. And you know what? I think that the heart of every man, God laid compassion on our heart. And he is right now raising people up to understand that and then having these civil conversations. And I've got to compliment the Swirlings for doing what they're doing and bringing the type of people together. And you know what? I agree that the blacks were persecuted. And you know what? The thing about the last name, they didn't give them their last name until they freed them. The slaves were freed by their owners, and then they took their last name.
And you know,
I have an issue about slaves being freed because I don't think it was exactly freed, you know, because they had no money, no land, no nothing.
Wait a minute. What about Chicken George?
Let's not talk about Chicken George.
What about Chicken George?
What about him?
How about the black slaves that paid to cut the marble in the steps of the White House from the Scottish architect? When I heard this gal say that she was so proud that Obama would walk up the steps that the slaves built, the slaves didn't build them. They were stonecutters from Scotland who hired black men and taught them a trade because of the compassion of the people at that time.
Do you know Washington, D.C.?
Read that history. It's in the White House documents. I already looked it up. They have the pay records in the Federal Register of these black men that got paid to cut the stones on those steps that Barack walked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to say that we all know that the biggest blemish in our whole history is that our forefathers, who had the brilliance and integrity to...
And genocidal intent.
Wait a minute, let me finish. To make a constitution that helped us make a beautiful country, but the biggest blemish of all that is so inexcusable is that they ever had human beings as their slaves. And that is so shameful, and we can never live that off.
And one thing that a lot of people of color want European Americans to understand is that slavery was the way the institution was built. The institution of America was built so that people of color are on the bottom and people that are white are on the top. But it was built that way.
Well,
and the institutions continue to carry that along. The institutions of America did not stop when slavery stopped. They kept on going.
Wait a minute.
And they kept going.
Well, we have a black president now.
Yeah, look where we are.
He's not running the country.
What?
The president doesn't run the country.
Oh, come on.
But it's pretty cool to be elected president.
Yeah, but the people
over a white man.
But the people that run
He got elected over a white man.
People that have the money run the country. Okay, and that has
man. Isn't that wonderful?
No, who elected the black man were people that have been stepped on
what
their
do
life.
You want?
The people that have. But what do I want? I'd like to see freedom and equality for everybody.
How do you want it to?
Like I said, if we're gonna pay taxes, then the taxes should go to the things that will help the most people the most.
Right. Everybody should have hospitalization. Right? Everyone
should. Then we have to sit down and talk about how we're going to do that and not throw bricks at each other.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, gang.
The lines are full here. We had a new caller. I want to thank Rick in San Jose. Thank you, Rick in San Jose. Helen in Santa Cruz, a new caller. Go.
Hi.
You're on the air.
I just have a question for Mrs. Whirling.
Yeah.
I want to know if she has Medicare.
Yeah, I do.
Well, then how can you complain about the government being in your health insurance? What do you think Medicare is?
Well, I think pretty good, but I don't think we have to do something that's different.
They're not going to change anything in Medicare. And if you fell down and broke your hip, you would get a new hip.
Well,
you need to read about this. This is ridiculous. You spread it.
Aren't they talking about funding the new health care reform with some significant cuts to Medicare?
Yeah,
I've heard that.
Medicare is not going to change.
That's not true. Medicare is going to have most of its funding taken away from it.
But where are you getting that from?
If anything, it'll get better.
Well, I hope you're right.
Because I want to know where you're getting this information from, because if you're getting them from is one thing.
No,
if you're getting them from the government itself, that's an entirely different thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what needs to happen is that we need to stop listening.
All the old people in the country do not want.
Because they've been scared by this stupid Fox News.
Thank you. We need to stop listening to idiots like Rush Limbaugh. Listen to people that actually have facts.
Have you ever listened?
He doesn't have facts.
Simba.
All he has is opinion.
Simba, have you ever listened? Have you ever listened to
the government?
Yes.
Obama lies.
See, that's something I learned when I was younger. And I used to be in the Black Panther Party for self-defense. And one of the things we did, we always had letters on newspapers from the Ku Klux Klan and the John Birch Society, because we wanted to know what you guys were up to.
Whatever.
You know what
now
I mean.
Now you're offending me.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. You
All
know
right.
what I mean. I'm very sorry. I didn't mean it
All
that
right.
way.
Hey, so listen, Helen, thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
Nikki, we got some commercials that we didn't run, huh? Are we going to spill over the end of the program? This is awful.
It's all right. We can do it.
Do you understand why I beg for donations? This is all the commercials we have.
And we don't do those.
We should have 25 minutes of commercials on this program. And we have like 3 minutes last hour. And
4 minutes.
And 4 minutes this hour.
But I'm more interested in the commercials.
We can't continue. A radio station like this can't survive with that few commercials.
Well, let's at least play them so that whoever's paying for them.
You ought to have me come on once a week. I bet you'll get donations.
Now, that's an idea. That's an idea.
Okay. I think it's a damn good idea, personally.
Okay, go.
It's time to dine in a redwood paradise. Take the short drive through the woods to the beautiful San Lorenzo Valley, where the trees are tall, the sky blue, the pace slow, and the dining is pure enjoyment. Listen.
Hi, this is Julie, manager at Rocky's Cafe in Felton. At Rocky's Cafe, we serve home-cooked meals for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week, with everything from eggs to omelets and pancakes for breakfast and yummy sandwiches and burgers for lunch. You'll soon find your favorite at Rocky's Cafe. If the weather is nice outside, we invite you to dine on the deck. Rocky's Cafe is located at 6560 Highway 9 in Felton. Call 335-4637. That's 335-4637. Remember, Rocky's Cafe is located at 6560 Highway 9 in Felton. We look forward to serving you. Rocky's Cafe, where the coffee is always hot.
It is time to dine in a redwood paradise. Take the short drive to San Lorenzo Valley and enjoy.
We've been in business for over 41 years by making it easy. Hello, I'm David Baker of Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances, your brand source furniture and appliance store in Watsonville. At Baker Brothers, we're always looking for ways to make it easy for you. Listen.
Baker Brothers' sizzling summer sale heats up with Red Hot Savings store-wide. Sofas and love seats set start at only $744.40. Sunny Designs TV consoles from only $249.40. Energy-efficient Whirlpool appliances like a premium side-by-side refrigerator in stainless steel, $1294.40. And stainless steel gas ranges start at only $799.40. Save big at Baker Brothers' sizzling summer sale.
When you need furniture or appliances, Baker Brothers will make it easy for you. Baker Brothers is your brand source store, which means we carry all the top names in furniture and appliances. Come by and visit. We'll deliver today or tomorrow. We are Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances, 55 Brennan Street, Watsonville.
Baker Brothers, we make it easy.
Kitchen Express is Santa Cruz County's oldest locally owned kitchen and bath showroom and is your headquarters for Corian, Silestone, Zodiac, and Caesarstone quartz countertops. Our highly experienced and professional computerized design team will help you in selecting your custom-made kitchen and bath cabinetry. We also feature a huge selection of decorative plumbing and hardware and so much more. Kitchen Express, located right off Highway 1 at the Rio Del Mar exit in Aptos. We're here for you.
Kitchen Express is number one.
We have great news for all you moms and dads. Hi, I'm Roy Trowbridge of the family-owned Palace Art and Office Supply.
It's time to get the kids ready for back to school. Hi, I'm Frank Trowbridge.
And we are ready to help you. I'm Gary Trowbridge. Listen to some of the great prices on back to school things Palace has to help you get the kids in the mood.
Spiral notebooks made of recycled paper, $2.99 to $5.99. Weekly planner book printed on recycled paper, $3.99. Earth-friendly aluminum water bottle for only $10.99. Check the Good Times, Santa Cruz Weekly, and the Santa Cruz Sentinel for money-saving Palace coupons. Or go to www.gopalace.com.
Bring the kids to Palace and get them in the mood to go back to school.
They'll love shopping all the creative, fun things we have for them.
And you'll enjoy prices that will save you lots of money. We look forward to seeing you and the kids at Palace Art and Off Supply on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz and on 41st Avenue in Capitola.
A proud member of the Think Local First business community.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's 475-4499.
Oy vey, as we say in my country. Yeah, tons of emails, and I haven't even looked at the emails. Yeah, I mean, this is, we haven't even done the Saturday special hour two jingle. Oh yeah, you want to promote the picnic here?
Yeah.
Simba, here, go ahead and say the picnic. We're all ready.
Every year the NAACP gives a annual Labor Day picnic at the La Viega State, City Park, not State Park. And this year will be no different. From 12 to 5, there will be lots of food, there will be barbecue, there will be games, there will be a raffle. And the money, a lot of the money goes towards scholarships. So we give scholarships to young African Americans to help them as much as we can to get to college. And the scholarships aren't that big, but they are that necessary. So if you want to buy tickets, you can call anybody at the NAACP. You can call me, Simba Kenyatta. My name is in the phone, my number is in the phone book, actually. K-E-N-Y-A-T-T-A. I'm one of those few Luddites that doesn't have a cell phone. So you just dial the number, and we'd be glad to sell you tickets. The tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for children under 12. And like I said, it's a lot of fun, and you'll be giving money to a great organization that's been standing up for people's rights for 100 years now, exactly 100 years.
Now,
so thank you.
Great. Now I just realized that we didn't play the hour number two jingle, and it's already okay. The end of the show. Well, we have to. It's just tradition. We can end it.
You're going to do the emails instead.
Oh. Damn it. What'd you say, Ma? What did you just call me?
I didn't call you. The emails.
Oh.
It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, we lost a listener. Kathy Provost will no longer be listening to KSCO because she does not like Kay's commentary.
Aww.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Kathy Prevost loves local radio, but she will no longer listen to yours. I will no longer listen to you. I am intending to forward this information to your advertisers. Well, I guess we blew it.
Okay.
I don't know.
No time for any emails?
Well, that was one of them.
That was one.
That was one of the emails.
Okay.
There might be some more like that, Ma.
That's all right. I don't expect everybody to like what I say.
And I want people to understand that because I think a thing is racist doesn't mean that I think the person that said it is racist. Those are two entirely different things.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say things they don't mean to say things that they don't know are that offensive, and that's what seems to happen today. She didn't know that was offensive. She found out. She apologized.
Why don't we just all chill out? Let's you, Ma, and Simba and me go in and eat some chink food.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Huh? Yeah.
You didn't say the one.
Say
let's go get some nigger food. What the hell? What's the difference? Horrible. You said that.
I hope nobody heard that on the air.
Chill out, everybody. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. Have fun.
Latin America is appealing to President Obama to ask for stronger U.S. action against Honduras following a coup there in June. According to leaders like the president of Brazil, a less tolerant attitude from the U.S. would help the return of ousted Honduran President Manuel Zelaya and improve U.S. relations with South America. Meanwhile, a delegation of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights today confirms that coup leaders in Honduras have committed violations of human rights with violence against protesters there. The group says that only a return to institutional democracy will allow Honduras to restore individual rights. David Noto, Fox News Radio.
In Omaha, Aurelio Varrio Sanchez has been convicted of first-degree sexual assault and felony theft, pleading no contest to the charges, facing up to 70 years in prison. He admitted stealing a painting of the Virgin Mary to finance the abortion of the teenager he'd raped. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO. Actually, good afternoon, everyone. There we go. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I got your Central Coast forecast for the weekend. We got cloudy skies clearing up a little later on with a high of 73. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour tonight. Partly cloudy, low around 55. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. On Sunday, we're going to have sunny skies, few clouds with a high of 67. And west-southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Monterey Bay Boaters forecast. We got